May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. COVID-19 has impacted all of our lives and will never be the same again. Most of us have questions, anxieties, fears about what it will mean. Many of us are afraid to come out of isolation and rejoin social contact again because of what that might mean, the danger that might be for us physically. And then there are questions about the tensions involved, tensions between physical and mental health. And what's most important? How do we balance those things? The tension between the need to restart our economy and our society, and between that and the danger that the disease still poses. And then for all of us, I think there are questions and probably anxieties about the changes that it might mean. What will happen with our lives as individuals, as families, as communities, as a church community? What will it mean? And as a nation and as a world, what changes will come? Another question that's been on the minds and hearts of many of us is the Black Lives Matter movement. And what happened to George Floyd appears to have revealed some significant flaws and fissures in our society, in our society in the West, perhaps across the whole world, in our political systems, in our social systems, the way that we relate, the way that we perceive, the way that we see. Big questions for us to address, and not least for the church. What does that mean for the church as well? Some of us have been very supportive of all the actions that have been taken, even the illegal ones. Others of us have been very concerned about the threat which rallies and some of those social actions have meant, not just for the breaking of law, but for the revision of history and also for safety in terms of the spread of COVID-19. I don't know where you stand on that spectrum, but these are questions which many of us have been pondering and thinking about, and we all have our own ideas and thoughts about that. And this is, of course, linked to the whole question of COVID-19, because it seems to have been revealed in the wake of it. What do we do about such things? What kind of mind do we have on these things, informed by our faith in God and by Scripture? Another issue that many of us have been concerned about for a long time is the environment. And one of the byproducts, weirdly, ironically, of COVID-19 was that it was beneficial actually for the wider environment. And now that societies are restarting, there are all sorts of worrying indicators that perhaps the environmental damage that some of our systems and economy will do to the environment are actually going to get worse and not better. What do we do about these worries, about these fears for the way we live? And what does it mean for ourselves as citizens? Many people are feeling that they do not trust their governments anymore, here in the UK, in America, and in other places too. What does that mean for us? What do we do with those sorts of feelings if we feel them? Others feel fiercely loyal to their governments, here and in America and in other places too. How do we deal with that, and how do we deal with the fact that other people might differ from us? All these questions have been very much on my mind, and certainly as I've come to the scriptures for today, for this Sunday. And it strikes me that the background for each of our scriptures, the Old Testament reading, the epistle reading, and the gospel reading, all are situated in times where there are big questions and big threats, especially, and this is what I want to say, especially the threats to faith. In the Old Testament, we've got this very, very young Abrahamic faith. It's very, very new, and it's very, very vulnerable. It seems to be dependent upon Abraham and Sarah having a child, and there is no child. But also there is pressure from outside. There's Abraham and his household, which is quite big by this time, but they have the pressure of the surrounding society, which has very, very, very different moral values and aims than they do, and they're concerned about that. And then in our New Testament, our epistle reading, we have a very young church, again, pressured by the values and mores of the society in which it's situated, and in which people, communities, individuals are being persecuted. There's suffering there, real suffering that people are experiencing. What does faith have to say about that? And then in our gospel reading, we have the very founding of our faith, the beginnings of its expansion from Jesus to his first apostles, his first disciples, who become his apostles in this reading, and beginning to spread out through communities. And again, there's threat there. There's threat from the rigid historical system of Judaism, which wants to control everything and won't open themselves up to fresh and new perspectives. And there's also poverty, a beleaguered economy, which is the result of the Roman occupation of Israel. People are suffering. They're suffering under the burdens of the Romans and also of this stultifying religious system, and from poverty and illness. What will they do? What does faith have to say about that? As I thought about all these things and as I looked at the readings, it seemed to me that there were three themes running through all three readings, the same three themes. One is hospitality. It is fundamental to Abraham and Sarah's understanding of faith, of morality, that hospitality will be given to strangers. And in this particular instance, these are not any strangers. This is God. It is a theophany, an appearing of God as a Trinity. But Abraham and Sarah instinctively offer hospitality. That's what they do. They welcome. Now the gospel reading takes that and gives it a twist. Here, what's happening is that the apostles, the newly appointed apostles, are going out to spread the word about Jesus. And just a little bit beyond our gospel reading, a few verses over, what we see is that they're meant to seek hospitality in the villages to which they go. If they are welcomed, they stay. If they are not welcomed, they're to shake the dust off their feet and move on. Here, what we see, and this ties into the Abraham reading, is that God is always seeking a welcome. God cannot do what God will do. God cannot heal what God might want to heal if there is not a welcome from human beings, as individuals, as communities, and as a society. And finally, in the New Testament reading, we see this message of hospitality as well, in that it talks about the love of God which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which he has given to us. God gives his Holy Spirit to those hearts that are receptive, and to those who have received him, he has come to make a home. He seeks hospitality in the very hearts of us. And the second theme which runs through all our readings is that of promise. In the Old Testament reading, the promise to Abraham and Sarah is that of a child. The continuing then of this newborn, not just newborn child, but the newborn faith, which has been revealed uniquely to Abraham and which now will continue and will mature in the world. In the gospel reading, there is the promise of peace with God, of reconciliation with God. This is the truth about God which is spoken as it's revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to preach the kingdom of heaven and access to the kingdom of heaven for everyone. And finally, in the New Testament reading, again, it's about peace. It's about the peace of God, promises of peace with God in any situation that will be in our hearts for all of us. The third theme which runs through all our readings is that of blessing. Abraham and Sarah receive the son that was promised. Their heritage is assured. Their faith will mature into the Abrahamic faiths, which are known throughout the world today. And in the Gospel reading, the promise that is spoken of redemption with God in the kingdom of heaven coming is revealed right there in front of them as people are healed in extraordinary ways, not just by Jesus, but by his apostles acting in his name. And in the Romans reading, the New Testament Romans reading, we have the blessing of the transformation of suffering, quite extraordinarily, that the peace that is promised comes through faith and through the way that suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. This is a way of transforming our very experience of the very, very difficult things which we encounter every day in our world. Hospitality, promise, and blessing. These three things seem to be the key markers or attributes of the encounter between God and people that brings forth life. Hospitality, promise, and blessing. And I want to ask you, perhaps, if you will with me, ponder what these three things, these three attributes, might mean to you in the reality of your life, your life's experiences, and also the questions that you might have about life here and now in our world. Hospitality, promise, and blessing. I want to take them in reverse order, and I want to ask you at some point perhaps to pause the video and to think these things through. If you're on your own, to ponder them and maybe write something down. If you're with somebody else, perhaps you could discuss these questions. So, first of all, blessing. So, first of all, with blessing, let's think about the past. And I want to ask this question from history and from your personal experience. What blessings come with faith in God, both as individuals and as a church community and as a society? Perhaps you might like to pause now and think about this. So now let's think about promise and what that might mean for us. And I'd like to think about that in terms of the present. In this present moment, with all that we face and all that we experience, with all that we fear and all that we hope for, all that we wonder about, what good news did you hear in today's scripture passages for you as an individual, for us as a church community, and for our society more widely? Again, I invite you to pause the video and ponder this, discuss it. And finally, the question of how it is that we receive God's blessing for ourselves, for our church community, and for our society. We need God's blessing so very much. And so here I'm thinking about the future and inviting you to do that with me. I want to ask this question: what practical steps might we take to make God welcome, both as individuals and as a church community, and also as a society? Again, pause the video and think about this. If you're on your own, discuss it if you're with somebody. Finally, a message of hope. Abraham and Sarah's fresh new faith did not founder among the surrounding nations that had such different values to theirs. It went on to grow and to flourish and be fruitful in the world. And the new revelation of that faith in Jesus Christ, again, was not suppressed by the religious authorities or the state authorities of the Roman occupation. And the newly born church was not destroyed by persecution, but it continued to grow and fill the world as it does today. However, in amongst the reality of the blessing of God, in all of those three situations, there was also suffering. Suffering was involved in the very receiving and enacting of the blessing. And the testimony of those that suffer with Christ is this. They have this sense that they are not alone in their suffering, that God is with them. They do not despair, that sense that Christ is there in the power of the Spirit to comfort them and strengthen them and to support them in the midst of their sufferings. And this has been the testimony of Christians in difficult situations all down the ages. And so I want to finally say this. As we make a place of hospitality for God in our lives, as we receive his promises, then we will see his blessing. And part of that blessing will be the transformation of suffering to hope. And as we bring ourselves and our church and our society to God, seeking ways to create a place of hospitality for God, seeking ways to hear accurately his promises and to speak them to others and into our society, and as we do this, we will see his blessing as we hope for it and pray for it. May you know God's blessing of peace this day.